Welcome back to the Lurk Here podcast. My name is Bethany, and I am joined here today by Jihan Johnson McLaughlin and, of course, Jarrell as my co-host.
Hello, hello.
Jihan, welcome to the Lurk Here podcast.
Hey, guys. How are y'all? Oh, that sounded so country.
Good.
What's popping?
Yeah, wait. You know, I was just gonna say that we have Atlanta represented now, so we've got Jarrell's in Atlanta, Jihan's in Atlanta. You guys are obviously close and locale,
yeah,
and seeing each other often. But Jihan, you've been all over. Like, I forget where you're from exactly, because I know you were out in LA for a while. You've been Philly also. Listen, congrats on the Super Bowl, by the way.
Listen, go Birds.
Where are you from?
Go Birds.
Yeah.
I am originally from Philadelphia, born and raised.
That's right.
On a playground is where I spend most of my days.
Hey.
And then, but I was partially raised in LA too. So bi-coastal, my whole life. I like to call myself the gypsy. I like bouncing around. Came to Atlanta, wanted to see what Atlanta was about. Then took my son off to California for 4 years and had a blast. So yeah, I'm a gypsy. I don't know where I'll be at. My son graduates high school and goes to college next year. So you may find me overseas in the next 2 years.
Keep them guessing.
Years.
Yeah, where's Jihan?
Where's Jihan San Diego? Like, so that's where I love to be at. I like to be all over.
Well, beyond where you are, tell us a little bit more about who you are and what mission you're on.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm working on a new, like, pitch of who am I? Who is Jihan? Mm-hmm. Who am I coming into? I just think about just everything that I've done, the things that I've curated. So I like to call myself the cultural curator, where I like to curate different communities, different events, but also bring awareness on, like, what's important, and that's the transformation in technology and creative and digital media. So that's where I'm sitting at right now. And oh my God, I didn't say my original one. I usually say I'm just a mom. That is my full-time job. I'm a stay-at-home mom. And that is my first career. My second career is just out here trying to curate global communities.
Hey, shout out to all the power moms out there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So tell me more about community. I think everyone here is really dedicated to creating, you know, strong, intentional, and purposeful communities that really promote change and impact. And I know you've done a lot of incredible work around this. Maybe talk a little bit more about some of the intentions that you've had in cultivating these communities.
Yeah, man. Like I said, before this, we were talking about, like, just bouncing around. And one of the things that I was raised on was community. Like, my grandfather was a doctor. My grandmother was a social worker. My other grandmother was a lawyer. But everybody showed up to the house. And it would be people from the ups on some sides to, like, just neighborhood family and friends. And they would come together and conversate. And they'll do it through food. Or the community that we build just traveling and meeting different people of culture. Because my grandfather used to do a jazz tour every year to Toronto. And to just take people from Philadelphia to out of the country to experience the world language of jazz, you know? And so for me, community is all about the spaces that you create to bring different people of color, different people of culture, different people of the community, but more important, different races together on one cause, and that's to uplift all of each other and raise the energy and vibrations to show people that love is love. So for me, I've taken that life lesson and have curated it in everything that I do, from different friendships where I know, like, on a norm, these people won't talk. But when it comes to being around in Jihan's space, they get to meet each other and understand that they have more things in common than they don't. One of the things I like to do, and I'm going to start back, is I used to do community dinners. So on Sunday, I would cook meals and just invite everybody from all different backgrounds together to just come and have community through love, through food, through music. And so I take that with my career. I like to bounce around. I like to call myself a hippie, a fairy, so that I can dip and dabble into different communities and be able to curate what I see my vision of the world being. And so I've done that by being in entertainment. I've done that by being in education, by being in gaming and esports, by being in technology, but then also being in the community and meeting these people to know that, okay, we have genuine love out here to spread, and it has to be done by building those communities.
I mean, I love that. I think your community focus, right, that has roots in so much of your previous experience. And yeah. I think when you and I started working together, I didn't realize how deep your family, your community really goes, especially into the entertainment industry. You know, a lot of people know you for your research, you know, your education work. But I don't think most people recognize how deeply rooted you are in entertainment. So I'm curious to hear more about that and how that shaped, you know, your journey to where you're at today.
Man, as I look at these gold records and platinum records on my wall, it's my childhood. It's all I know. You know what I'm saying? Like, my uncle Woody Johnson, God rest his soul, was one of the biggest concert production managers out there, with his counterpart Al Haymon, where they started the Budweiser Superfest. I still have notes of when they originally started this. And so that's where I fell in love with concert production and promotion. And I watched my uncle travel the world and be able to bridge different communities through music. And so from calling people that people see on TV that are my aunts, or that I grew up as like being raised at, going to their houses in the summer times, I really learned the importance of what music can do to bring people together. But more importantly, I learned the business. I learned the business of networking. I never forget my grandfather. I used to play with his Rolodex, and my grandfather would be like, you always want to make sure you get one business card no matter where you go, because your Rolodex is where all your money and your value comes from. And so that always stuck with me. And so seeing the hard work that my uncles were putting in concert and production, that made me want to be like the first female production, you know, assistant, and put on my first concert and be the first Black female production director. And so I took a stab at it. I didn't take a stab at doing concerts, but I got into radio. I worked in radio at the age of 14, shout out to WPG Power 98 in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was able to be on a marketing and promotions team at 14 years old. That is so unheard of. My twin sister and I, and we were the twins of the radio station. Every day after high school, we were at the radio station. That was my work. That was my job. I even did some on-air work. And so that gave me the experience of knowing what I wanted to do. And I always wanted to work with entertainment, work with music. And then that's when I was able to get an internship at Def Jam and Good Music, when Good Music was popping with Kids in the Hall. And so that eventually led me to do radio in college and being an on-air broadcaster. And that was my love. And that's my love for entertainment is kind of how I got into the educational realm. Because I went in to teach radio classes part-time at Richard Wright Public Charter School in D.C. Shout out to Dr. Marco Clark. And that was how I saw how I can fuse entertainment and education and show kids the love that I grew up around, and put it into a formality that they like. So we created a reading campaign, but it was based off of 2 Chainz's first single. So they use a 2 Chainz instrumental. It's on YouTube, I'll send a link, but they use a 2 Chainz instrumental. The kids wrote their own raps, and it was a whole reading campaign. They shot the video, they produced it, and I was able to see production and content production and live event production put into one place for this reading campaign. So I like to, I reminisce a lot on my past because it is the foundation of who I am.
Now, you're talking about music, sometimes film, I'm assuming with entertainment, and you've stepped into education and brought things in that are super creative. How did you jump from those sort of traditional entertainment spaces to esports, gaming, tech? I mean, you have your own now, Beatbotix, right? That's a conglomerate of some of those things. Where did your mind start to go? Tech, community, entertainment. This is something familiar to me.
Oh, it's so funny. I always had technology in the house. Like, we were the technology house. I posted a post today on my socials of a typewriter because that was the first time I ever learned how to type. And so everything, of course, you go into entertainment, you're going to have every digital device that you need. And I just thought about at that time that I became an educator, I was also a mother. And I thought about how I would want my son to be taught, what I would want in the classroom, if I had a school. It was always my dream to open up a digital art school. And so what I wanted to do was show kids the creative side to education and the creative side to life, because that's all I knew. And I think a lot of times in schools, children get foreshadowed by the test scores and, you know, general education. I wanted to at least bring the fun part of education out, and that's the creative side. So that led me to one day, never forget, I have a child. She's grown now. But the only way that she would do her work is if we had Nicki Minaj. And so I used Nicki Minaj instrumentals for her to come in and do the work. And she was, she had challenges in some departments. And so the other thing was, when the Microsoft of Education rep here in Georgia came, her name was Chanel Brown. When she came, she showed me Minecraft Education. And I was like, wait, what the hell? Like, you can game in the school system? Like, that was unheard of when I was, except for, and I'm showing my age and I don't care, Oregon Trail. We're going into the computer lab. That's when I had computer typewriting classes. And that was the game that we were playing. That was the game we were playing in the computer lab, the game that we were playing in the classroom. And I'm like, damn, this is like modern day Oregon Trail, but they're doing different things to make them understand their learning abilities and capabilities. And at that time, she was locked into Nicki and games. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, let me infuse that. And so I looked at that, and then I went to being another assistant principal and using music to just lift the vibes and energy. And then I turned around and had the job that Chanel had at Microsoft Education. And that's when my world opened up. That's when I learned about esports. I got to talk to the vice president of education, nice. World education at Microsoft, Anthony, and he was telling me about the future of esports, where it was going. I was hearing, you know, this name called NASTEF. I was seeing, this was at the time that Rick Fox was suing his, I think it was somebody, his business partner, for racism, for blocking him out of different esports tournaments. So I was seeing that, and then my son comes to me, and he's like, during COVID, he's like, Mom, I want to build my own PC. I want to be a streamer, a content creator. And a lot of people don't know, my son has been following Kai and the other young man from the Bronx when they actually lived in the Bronx, and has had past conversations with them. So though they were his motivator, like, yo, keep it going. He still got the DMs now. It's like, keep it going. So like, when he meets Kai in person, the couple times that he has, it has been like life-changing. I'm like, damn, this shit is 360, you know what I mean? And so I always say this, I officially learned about That's awesome. Esports and gaming in person when I had to go to a tech conference at Woodward Academy here in Atlanta. And I was the only Black person in the room. And everybody was talking about esports at all these private schools. They were talking about the competitions and how they had varsity jackets. And I'm like, damn, Tri-Cities High School is right next door, 98% Black. Y'all share the bus parking lot. I have kids fixing these teachers' phones in the middle of my training sessions, but they don't have access to esports. And I was like, wow. And so that's when I'll never forget, Chanel told me when I was at Microsoft to take what they're not doing for our community and recreate it into our community. And so when my son came to me and said that he wanted to do COVID, I mean, not do COVID, my bad, when he wanted to do a company and be involved in gaming and content creation, that's when I remember that conversation and remember what wasn't being serviced in those communities. And I sat there and was like, how do I bring my love for everything that I have done? Because my son and I both shared a love of hip hop. Of course, he's like modern day, but how do I infuse that love that I have, the love that my son has? And that's how we formulated Beatbotics at our dining room table one day at night during COVID. And so it that was in 2019-20, and we're still here, about to officially launch. And so I also wanted to take it a step further. And I was like, dang, it's like no Black women in this space. Like, I don't see nobody that looks like me, you know? Not on a research side, not on a structured org side. And so that's when I just started hopping. This is a lot of, I don't tell this story enough. I hopped on Clubhouse. Like, Clubhouse was popping during COVID. That's where you could find everybody. When I say everybody, I would have Zoom nights with like different NBA players. It would be like everybody would be on there. And I just started creating a community on Clubhouse. And that's how I met a lot of the people in the gaming industry. That's how I met people that tell me like, yo, you could go to grad school for free, application for free, find a fully funded program. And that's when I was like, okay, let me look at these schools who have the best esports program so I could go study it and make a change. And so that's how I applied to go get my PhD. And yeah, the story is history.
Let's dive into this really unique and interesting intersection. I feel like, you know, again, when we first met, I was fascinated with so many of the stories that you were telling me, especially the fact that Beatbotics is rooted with this love for both hip hop and technology and empowering, you know, all the different diverse communities to be able to leverage their love for this intersection. And to be honest, I haven't seen a lot of crossover between hip hop culture and esports culture. We're starting to see a little bit here and there, but I feel like there's so much opportunity there. I'm curious to hear, you know, more about what you envision that intersection looking like, especially since you're pioneering the space.
Man, I want it to look like what world hip hop looks like. Of different genres, different people coming together to celebrate a culture, to celebrate a love that brings different people together. If we look at the basis of gaming and why it was created because people were searching for community, you know? And I think as it has become more commercialized, we have gotten away from that framework of what community looks like, because community should look like what the next person down the street looks like, what the next person coming behind me looks like, what the world looks like. If we look at the world, like, the world is full of so many different colors. And so why can't the gaming industry be like that? Like, it sucks sometimes being the only Black woman in a room. Or being the only woman of color, or just being a woman in general in a male-dominated industry. And sometimes you get looked over. Sometimes your voice is silenced because they feel as though that you don't have the answer, or this isn't for you. And so for me, I want to change that. I want to create that space so that women feel safe. I want to create that space so Black and brown communities have a voice, and it's not a voice that's echoed from the outside chambers. I want to create a space of community and a sense of belonging for all people, all minds, all kinds. I'm taking that from Kevin. Shout out to KB. but I want to, my vision is what my family looks like. You know, I come from a rainbow family. Nobody looks at each other's skin tones. We all look at how we can help and how we can love and elevate each other. And I just think that's how life is supposed to be anyway. It should be about love and elevation, because you don't know what people are going through. And so gaming is that space that should be that healing space.
Yeah, I love that analog to hip hop culture, right? The idea that you know, we come together in these ciphers and circles to exchange ideas and exchange perspectives, and to see even just the journey of how hip hop has gone from grassroots to the global stage and a global phenomenon. I think you're right. I think we're also seeing that same sort of arc happening with grassroots esports movements to global stages. But at the same time, you know, I think the same hurdles exist in like you said, in elevating different communities to that global stage. As you think about that work of, you know, creating more equitable spaces, you know, again, looking at that intersection of hip hop and gaming, what are maybe some key things that you think, you know, communities should be aware of to help create more color in these spaces?
I think it's the language and the advertising. You have to start, we have to look at the business structure of it. How are we marketing to these communities? How are we having language of which they feel welcomed? Where are they seeing themselves, you know? And is it not just a, let me get your face for a DEI moment? You know what I'm saying? Like creating sustainable communities for longevity, you know? Like we know it's a frat boy world, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I've heard many a stories. I have had plenty of women come to me about how I'm one of the people that makes them feel the safe in this space, you know? And it shouldn't be like that, you know? Treat others how you want to be treated. I always go by that mantra. And so I just feel as though, like, marketing, language, becoming uncomfortable in order to get comfortable, because that's what it's going to take in some spaces. But then also, how are you even reaching out to these communities? What are the efforts? What do they look like? Like I say, it's all marketing and strategy for me.
I think your awareness too, I think it comes from many places. I think you being a mother, I think your education, how you grew up in entertainment already gives you a keen eye onto sort of what's next. And I get this sense that you're kind of like two or three steps ahead of what everyone else is doing. And there's maybe this almost tension to bring people into what is a future that you can see. Like you mentioned Kai a lot, and I think like obviously AI is going to do a lot, but also live streaming right now is incredibly popular, where there are whole narratives for students and people going on 24/7 in every language across the globe. Mm-hmm. And if you're removed from that, or if you're not sure that's going on, it's kind of scary and unknown, and you just don't want to fuck with it. I think you're also someone that tends not to be very scared of these changes, yeah, and new things. It gets you excited. And I'm curious, are there things that you're seeing pop up in entertainment or different types of media that you see coming that gets you excited or inspired right now?
I saw last summer, I saw AI rapper, a rap battle.
A battle. Okay. Wait, where was
this? This is at the Black and Technology Conference. It was dead ass hilarious.
Okay.
But it was an AI rap battle. One person was in person. The other one, he was battling the AI rapper. I've seen that. I've seen, like, I just did a AI and tech event, Happy Hour. And so I'm seeing more of those populate around, of people doing just that cultural technology awareness, but doing it in a space that feels comfortable within regular society. Because, you know, some people are still scared of AI. Why? Jarell. I don't know. And Jarell, you know.
Yeah.
Jarell and I have had many conversations about AI. And I just, yeah. It's the fact that Bethany, me and you said Jarell the same.
Yeah.
But that's where we're sitting at. And I think the message that a lot of people are forgetting is that it's an enhancer and it's not changing our lives. One of the things that I absolutely love is how it is bringing community together. You know, like I just did a first AI event and they had almost 100 and something people there. And it was in an art exhibit here. We had local wine and beer sponsors. And so it was cultivated by bringing different people in the community together and to learn about a new dev AI HR app that's coming out to help people get hired. So it's fun. It's the formulation of technology, education, cultural awareness, but community as well. And so where I always look at life, I have been saying this saying for forever. We are going from the Flintstone lifestyle to the Jetson lifestyle. Mm. But we have to remember that we are no longer parents, grandparents. We're no longer in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 99, and the 2000s. We are now moving into the Jetson land, and we have to make sure that we are well aware and well educated on what's going on. And so this digital transformation that's going on, if you look at it, it's an ever evolving thing. But I still tell people, don't forget to learn the basic skill sets. You know, like I'm raising a 16, almost 17 year old. And I'm like, damn, like some of the skill sets he has are some of the things that I wish and desired when I was growing up. And I had to teach myself versus it being taught to me in a class, like coding and content creation. You know, I went and got a fucking broadcast journalism degree because mm-hmm. I wanted to learn how to edit it. And here we are with motherfucking YouTube University. And it's like, damn, I've wasted $80,000. Like, are you fucking kidding me? So that's where, like, deadass, that is where the world is at. It's like the things that our parents nailed and drilled into us of going to get these degrees is something that is self-taught at home. And if you have the business mindset, and this is what I'm teaching my son, then the world is endless. Like Jay-Z and Cassidy said, I'm a hustler. That's one of the things I will say that these kids are doing. Their hustle is just different. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think being a content creator is hard. Being a streamer is extremely mm-hmm. hard. You hear these people online, you see in some of the things that they're going through, and it's just like us, we're like, if it's not a 9 to 5, I'm not putting in that hard work, but then you're seeing the benefits of it. And I think that's kind of the reasons why I stray from 9 to 5 work, is because I like that drive. It reminds me of that 14-year-old girl that will wake up, go to high school, leave at 11, go to the radio station and be there till about 3 o'clock in the morning because I had that hustle and drive in me. And so I just think that just parents out there, the hustle and drive looks different for the kids right now. And they have it, but they have it in a way that is making them more forward thinkers than being stuck and complacent in how we were raised of the traditional route.
I mean, to be fair, I'm not scared of AI. I think part of what I'm really trying to advocate for is more of a balanced approach. You know, I mean, we could spend a whole nother podcast diving specifically into this, but, you know, because you're talking about just collectively, just within this podcast, like our experiences growing up and having the analog, having the high touch, right, community. You know, now we've fast forward into this digital world where in a lot of ways community is fragmented, right? It's hyper connected, but fragmented. And so I think as we get deeper into this AI driven world, I think it's also important to remember balancing it out with the human element, with the analog element, as much as we can.
Centered interactive design. That's why I majored in. I learned so much. I'm on a break. Let me tell y'all this, and this is the most random shit ever. I started my PhD. I am on a break. I am finishing when my son starts college. But the lessons that I learned in HCI are so fucking real. Like, I think that's why I move the way that I move. Like, I'm not, you know how some people, they learn a new piece of technology and they fucking go berserk. And mm-hmm. it's like some people mm-hmm. are so heavy and stuck on this AI that they're forgetting why that human connection is there. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys just talked about it on that podcast with Verter, but that HCI, that human-centered interaction, that part is so important to keep community, which is mm-hmm. why I said I'm bringing back my dinners, because I think from us still being at home, people still having hybrid, people still being their own world, and then AI is just like, you know what, shit, I don't even have to leave the comfort zone of my bed to socialize, mm-hmm. do anything. Mm-hmm. I can send, everything is here in my digital device. And I'm just like, going out, and Bethany has been out with me, going out, people, all people do is sit on their damn phone. And it's just like, where is that connection? You know, I love to go out and talk. I love to go out and talk and have conversations about business and how do we grow? How do we build our own language learning model versus letting it all build for ourselves and us not having no connection with each other? And then you're like, damn, well, I'm 40 years old and I don't have friends. And, you know, it's just, listen, I could go down a rabbit hole about why we have to learn how to enhance our regular daily lives with AI and not let AI take over our lives. But yeah, I just think that human connection, it's a special touch. It's so special. And a lot of people don't understand the energy levels behind that human connection. Because you don't know what somebody is going through, and you, that one event or that one conversation, that one meeting, not only can be inspiring, but it can heal something with it, you know? Sorry, that's the spiritual side of Gian. People don't know. Jarrell knows, and Bethany knows, but not the
one. No, this is why we have this podcast.
It's exactly. we get hippie with it. We're over chilling. Here.
Yeah, sure. Listen, mm-hmm. we live the hippies. Okay? Mm-hmm.
I'm just nodding my head. Just can't see it.
It's so crazy because I'm usually interviewing. So to be interviewed is the thing. I love it.
Yeah, there's a vibe that I feel like we've all been catching a little, which is this really fake performative sort of feeling. And I don't know if it's AI or if it's just this like grasping at who knows what's next feeling. But I feel like this space is really sort of craving that intimacy and community and knowing people rather than speculating people and feeling like people are trying to get something out of them all the time. Are you all feeling that too? And like, what are you doing to push back, I guess, for your own energy, some of that?
For me, I think a lot of people, shit, we live in Atlanta, so you just don't know.
I'm in LA. I don't know.
That too. I was gonna say I've had the best of both worlds.
I'm from Pittsburgh, so
LA and Atlanta. Oh man,
yeah. That's a good, oh, man. You think you know?
You think you have no idea? I think for me, it's tapping back into my mindfulness roots. So like, I'm a whole certified mindfulness coach. I enjoy teaching mindfulness. Shout out to Mal. I actually used to introduce Malcolm Coley from Futures First Gaming to mindfulness and meditation.
Nice.
And so for me, that's what it I have to be centered. I don't, for me, like Atlanta and LA can be dark in some places. And so if I don't feel that authenticity and I don't feel bad, if my scale as a Libra is not balanced, then I know that I have to sit within myself and become more mindful around the spaces that I am in, which is probably one of the reasons why I've taken a seat back a little bit this past year is because I don't feel balanced. I don't feel centered. And so I have to come into my own to figure out what's next. And I think a lot of people are so caught up in the rush that they forget to actually be mindful and appreciative of what's there and not, you know, go crazy and be so uncentered that they're lost within themselves.
Gian, what part of the world right now really excites you? What region gets you inspired right now? I'm curious because you've been all over and internationally as well.
I know, but I've been all over, but I haven't been a lot of places internationally. Mm. I've been on like different places. That's my goal, is to become a global international sensation, speaking and, you know, work and building communities. Yeah. But I think for me, it will definitely be like places that I know I have family and friends from. And that is like Puerto Rico, South America, some parts of Europe. So my aunt lives in south of France. So there, but like the untouched small countries, the, you know, like I love the work that the conversations and the work I have done with Japan. Absolutely love that. I'm willing to tap over in Africa and see some of the work that they're doing. I wish I can touch every small country to show them that they matter, their culture matters, and that their voices matter, because we have to forget there are still people that do not have access, or the access that they have is very limited. So how do we bring that creative awareness to their village or their towns or their communities to help enhance their educational levels, their cultural levels, but more importantly, their self-image and self-love levels. That's for me. I just want to bring love across to little people that are unheard of. The lurkers.
Jian, how are you defining success for your 16-year-old right now? What does that look like in this world?
I'm first trying to figure out what stage of motherhood I will be in. So I first have to process that. And because I've been a mom since I was 22 years old. So that's all I know. So I'm trying to process that part of what motherhood looks like as I let my 18-year-old son go off to college. And so for him, I like to bring wisdom around. So we just had a whole sit down dinner with my Uncle Haile. He was here visiting. And we're talking about the different colleges, different majors. And he was literally like schooling him on the game of life. And it's just like, I want him to be better than both myself, his father, and I want him to be better than himself. I want him to challenge who he is and realize that you can have the world in your hands as long as you put in that work and effort. Like, we're not doing late. Like I told my sister this morning, I was like, I'm not raising a lazy kid. Like, damn, you're like going to go out there. You're going to butt your ass. You're not going to sit at home. You're going to make yourself successful. But one of the things he is blessed is that he has me in the household. He has literally seen my grind. Like, and at first I thought he never paid attention because he watched me get my, while I was pregnant and when I walked across the stage with him with my bachelor's, but he watched me get my, after losing a house fire, he watched me complete a master's in a year. Mm. He watched me get accepted into my PhD and fulfill different dreams and watch me check different things off my to-do list to where that one week he is like, damn, mom, you really like accomplishing your goals. And so I'm hoping that I am that visual and that perspective for him to have that own personal drive within himself to keep going as I enter this next chapter of motherhood, of becoming the facilitator mother and not the traditional mom, of helping him build his foundation. Now that he has had his foundation laid, I just want to be that facilitator so that he does the right thing and does what makes him happy at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't think you just want to be. You have been doing it incredibly. You know, as a son of a, you know, former single mom.
Right.
Yeah, I totally see it and hear it, and I know for sure that all of the hustle and example that you've been setting and modeling that you've been doing for your son is going to make a huge impact on him as he continues to move forward as a, and growing as a human on this planet. For
yeah,
sure.
he said to me the other day, he said, yo, when you go get some more consulting gigs so we go travel around and
that's go what's
around
up.
And we can use that shit as a vacation and you go around and use your receipts as get your money back.
Hey.
That kid, you're paying attention. You're making mommy proud. But it's all about providing your kids the freedom and space to grow, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's mm-hmm. the most important factor is I'm not a traditional mom. I've never been strict. If anything, all my friends look at us as like brothers and sisters because we go tit for tat, like because I was still a child learning how to raise a child. So I use it as a learning marker for myself as well because I was 22 years old raising a kid. I just graduated college. Like, are you serious? Like, what the hell is going on? But I did it, you know, and I did it my way, and I thank my foundation. And so I think that should, like I say, that's the most important thing in life, is building and sustaining a strong foundation for you to know that it's okay to have fuck ups. It's okay to have down moments. But as long as you're able to come out and level it all out, because let's be for real, like, I was not the perfect teenager.
I don't think any of us were. Yeah.
You know, I definitely was a lurker. You feel me? So I just take what I wish I would have done within my life and try to tell him what I did, tell him my fuck ups. You know, I'm nothing to hide. And he using that and some of the other real life world examples of what not to do. So that's not what I tell parents, like, let your kids be, like, they'll be fine. You know, a lot of kids that get into these trouble moments, you're dictating their life a little bit too much. Like, loosen up the umbilical cord, parents, let it go.
Well, we're definitely excited to see where he goes next. And I think, you know, speaking of, going next, where do we grow next? You know, I think us three are continuing to collaborate. So I'm curious to hear from your perspective. Where do you see things going and growing?
Up and out of here and skyrocketing, just like Gayle King and him. I really do, man. I think it's the year. We were just talking about this. I think it's the year for entrepreneurs to, like, skyrocket. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have helped, and I love helping companies build their brand. I love companies doing that, but I have not taken time to do that with my own companies. And so I'm using this moment that the universe has given me to sit still and build, you know, do what I want to do for a lifetime. Like, nobody said life has to be a crazy way. You can really, life is literally a video game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can create and design your life the only way that you want to. And so that's where I'm at. I'm excited to support people that are levering up themselves this year. Like, and building, like I wrote on my Instagram the other day, like, I just want to keep building communities. Like, my friendships come from the communities that I build. And I love having different people from all walks of life in my life that I could just pick up the phone and call, like, crazy people. It's just like, that's where I see the world. I see more collaboration. I see more connection. I see more love, because we're in a different space right now. And I think what the world needs right now is more love, more community, more human connection, for a space to create a sense of belonging. So, yeah.
Before we wrap up, guys, I think we should manifest a collab out loud, because we're all hippies. Out loud right now, 2025, what's your dream collab?
I definitely see the JJ and B collab. I see it in a global space, on a global stage. Man, that shit would be fire. Us three together. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Get ready, world. The JJ and B tour coming to a country near you. Remember, Bethany, we talked about doing a podcast a year ago. And look, you know, it comes in different variations. And so it all comes with the energy that we put out. And I think the energy that we're putting out is all within self. And so that formulates that collaboration that needs to happen.
All right. Well, if we're manifesting, I'm going to just put it out there. I envision global stage.
Yes.
Fusion of hip hop and gaming culture. And we got AR breakdancing with, collaborative physical virtual crossover. And we're featuring various countries competing in both a virtual and physical way. I'm gonna just put it out there. I think it's gonna happen.
Yeah, let's call it the Unity Fest. Sorry, the Melon 2018. I already have it. It's in the vault, man. That ass, it's in the vault.
But let me top it off with one I think we'll all agree on: T-Pain. T-Pain.
Buy you a drink.
Hey.
Man,
that's it. That's a wrap.
That's all I need. Energy has shifted.
Let's go. On to the next thing. I love you guys. Thank you so much, Jihan, for being here, always chatting with us. I can't wait for the world to hear this one. You'll be back, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're going to take this on the road. So thank you again. Jarrell, you did great. I'm so sorry you're so scared of AI and that came out on this podcast. But
we're working
we'll
on our relationship.
We'll unpack that
we're working on it.
Oh, all right. I'm coming out with a podcast, Jihan Unfiltered. It will pertain everything. Just understand the unfiltered version.
Yep.
Where
no
can everybody
filter.
Find you online on socials?
Socials, I am on, what is it, Instagram? I'm The Real Jihan J. X, The Hip Hop Ed Tech Diva. And then LinkedIn, I'm just Jihan Johnston McLaughlin. Mm-hmm. Very simple. As soon as you type Jihan in, you'll find me.
All right. Well, that's a wrap, all. Thanks for the manifestations. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Good vibes.
We'll talk soon.
Hey, later, everyone. Thanks.
See ya.
Peace.